it's Ham Nation time, and we have got a great show lined up for you. We have got Neil Rapp and Chris Bro, who are the youth on the air organizers, spearhead guys, tips of the spear, the guys in charge. They're going to tell you about Youth on the Air, which, you know, we all know it was canceled, but that's all right, because in this age of doing everything online and remotely, they're going to do it online and remotely. And you can participate and watch and take part in. And it's going to be great. And we're also going to have a really good solar update from Dr. T. And George is here with harrowing tales from the transmitter site. Amanda is here. Bob is here. Gordon is here. I'm here. You're here. Let's just do this thing, shall we? Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 457 for June 10, 2020. Yoda Summer Camp.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm coming to you from our studio in Belleville, Illinois. We're just on the east side of the great arch of downtown St. Louis. Thanks for being here. Welcome to this great program about amateur radio and all kinds of other things. We're going to have the weather, the space weather lady is with us tonight, and all kinds of stuff going to happen. So don't go away, because a lot of information. Let's see who is all here. First of all, Gordon West. Gordon, how are you, buddy? You okay?
Hey, I am fine, Bob. In fact, in your neck of the woods, on 145.13, they said millihertz, but I think they mean megahertz, capital M, the Kansas City Where's Waldo. I don't know if you've ever listened to it, Bob, but it gives great traffic reports from 515 to 545 to get into or out of the downtown area. Takes a tone of 151.4, but Where's Waldo is a fun repeater group that makes driving enjoyable, because you can share the airwaves with all those folks on the roadways. Back to you, Bob.
Cool. All right. Well, that's across the state, of course, but I'm familiar with that. But greetings to all those guys. And George Thomas is with us. George, I guess you've had a lot of repairs in the last week. What's going on?
Yeah, and they're not over yet, Bob. You know, we had that little storm move through, the tropical storm that just came out of the Gulf. It wasn't a real strong one, and I wasn't expecting any issues, but boy, it really caused me some grief. I mean, nothing catastrophic, but certainly caused me a lot of extra work. We're going to be talking about some of that. I'll just bring you up to date, because I hadn't had a chance to do anything else. It's been a busy probably 4 days now.
Boy, well, we'll look forward to that. And Don, you're here. You got the space lady with you today, and Newsline and all that.
Yeah, we've got her recorded on Memorex. Of course, she was live with the rest of the YLs last week, and wasn't that a great show? We did just fine with Cristobal, the tropical storm. We had, I think, 40-mile-an-hour winds, 40-ish, and about 4-ish inches of rain here at the place in Picayune, Mississippi. And so we did just fine. No problems with that here. But, yeah, we've got Dr. T, and we've got – I think it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about youth and amateur radio tonight, which is something near and dear to my heart, and it also was for Newsline's founder, Bill Pasternak, which, by the way, tomorrow – marks 5 years since his passing. Yes. So we'll remember Bill tonight, Bob.
Yeah, very much so. Neil Rapp is with us, and we're going to get into the whole thing that he's doing with Yoda. Quickly, before we get moving, there's what I'm doing, everybody. If you don't recognize it, that's an 807 tube, and that is the final amplifier for the Pine Board. It's not ready to go yet, but I got the basis of it together, and I'm looking forward to getting it all working. Our friend Gene has done an incredible drawings of all these things. Here's the power supply. Gene is so talented, and he graciously gives all of his time to us to make all this happen. It's one thing to build something, but to have something like this, you don't even need a schematic. It's really cool. And we'll get into all of this. It's not going to happen just overnight, but I'm getting there. Just want to let you know, I is a working on it. Oh, golly. But let's go see what Gordon's got. I know he's got some things for us. So, Gordon, take her over from the West Coast.
Well, thanks, Bob, and great to see George and Don after surviving all that weather coming in. We're going to be talking about this weekend's VHF, UHF, ARRL annual contest. But before we do, I want to encourage all of you, don't operate from home. Give FTA to rest and play some real radio where you have fun with people's voices out there or read their fists on CW. But most important, wherever you go to do your VHF, UHF, unless it's in your own backyard, and we hope it is not, we hope you're out there getting some air, wear the mask. You've got to wear the mask. The pandemic is ramping back up again because everybody said, well, if I can get a haircut, I don't need the mask. Wear the mask. So important. And also know your grid square. Now, grid squares for this contest are 1 degree latitude by 2 degrees longitude. That's about 70 miles by 100 miles. And it's very important you know your grid square. ICOM America, American Radio Relay League all have grid square maps on the internet that you can look up your own grid square. Or if you have an HT that shows grid squares, look up two letters and two numbers. And do the letters Delta Mike, Whiskey Tango, Ocean Alpha. Do your grid square letters with the international phonetics and then the two numbers that follow them. So, Victor, let's go ahead and take a look at Working DX, this VHF UHF contest. We're not relegated just to VHF radio calls. We're relegated to making some great contacts. And here we are on 6 meters. This is your spot if you have a single sideband 6 meter radio, 50.125. But once you make contact, move off of that channel. Don't homestead 50.125, or else you will be labeled a LID. And I'll let Bob and Don and George explain the word LID. Don't be a LID and hog 50.125. If you're on FM on 6 meters, 52.525. But again, move up or down. Don't operate right on the calling channel. On 6 meters, the band was open to Hawaii this morning from the West Coast. The East Coast, you folks are working Europe. 6 meters is hot. So beside working grid squares, think about on 6 meters working all states. And it can be done when the band is open with sporadic key. And by the way, QST Magazine this month has a great article about the origin of refraction and reflection up at the E layer. This is a typical old-timer 6 meter antenna. That's the Saturn. They don't make them anymore, but if you got one, use it. There'll be plenty of activity on multi-mode rigs, such as the ICOM, and down on 144-200, single sideband only. Make your contact on 200 and move off the calling channel. Don't homestead 144-200, but let people know you're there. If you're only FM, no problem this weekend on the VHF-UHF contact. Your operating frequency is 146.550, and they do permit 146.52. But don't be a lid and hog 146.52. Make a contact or make an announcement. Gordo here, 146.52. I'm going to 146.58. See you there. And then move up there, and you'll have plenty of folks talking to you. So use these calling frequencies, including the UHF 446-70 centimeter band, as a place to make noise, and then move off of the frequency. Don't just sit there on it. By the way, your 440, if you're doing FM, make sure the feed point is on the left or right-hand side of this loop antenna. But if you're doing sideband, put the feed point down on the horizontal lower portion of the loop antenna. The Amateur Television Network and all ATBers throughout the country are going to also be on the air this weekend. You must work simplex, no working through repeaters. So if you're going to do an ATB contact, make sure you're lined up on either 434 or wherever the ATB activity is, and make those contacts. So whether you're doing ham radio as part of a group function where you're well spaced apart, have fun. And although FT8 can certainly pick out signals that you can't even hear on sideband or FM, give it a rest and play the real, I think, the real radio of hearing people's voices, getting a laugh out of them that they can't do on digital, and have fun. Amplifiers, I don't think you'll need an amplifier for either the 6-meter band if you have more than about 25 to 50 watts out, and you certainly won't need an amplifier on 2 meters FM or 446 FM. So leave the amp off. It just creates headaches and monopolizes the channel. Wow, this will be a great spot to operate this weekend for the VHF-UHF contest. No, it's a horrible spot, because on 2 meters, your VHF radio will simply be overblown with VHF signals coming off of all of the other 2 meter and business band and kilowatt pager transmitters at 152. So do not try and operate VHF or UHF the contest weekend this weekend by going to a mountaintop and sitting right below all of those neat towers. You will have so much intermod, your receiver won't hear squat. So just go to an area where there's hardly anybody else, get that antenna up so high, there it is, tip-top loop, and have fun all by yourself. And some unique antennas to try out. Here's one with three different lead lengths on the radiating elements. The longest one is for 144, the slightly shorter is for 222, and the shortest one is for 430. This antenna and others have been homebrewed, and they all work well. They just need a good ground plane below them, and they work simultaneously. If you're going to do weak signal work on the left aft end of the black vehicle, you'll find that we're horizontal. Same thing with a portion of the big 6-meter antenna that you see above the right fender. But the roof rack has a lot of 2-meter antennas and 440 that are vertically polarized. So get your polarization correct. And even though you may have something on your roof rack that's a million years old that we've said is a real problem on high frequency, 2 meters and 440, look at that, an SO239, just screw it down and you are on the air. Little three-element direction finder beams. This one's for 2 meters, does a fabulous job of about a 3 to 4 dB gain over just a telescopic quip, and maybe 6 to 8 dB gain over the rubber duck, which is a performer not so great on 2-meter 440 handheld. So try and get a much longer antenna if you're going to be doing some hilltopping this coming VHF, UHF weekend. Out at Quartz Fest, these folks with the little three-element beams were picking up distant repeaters, which we can't do during this contest, but also simplex stations 80 to 100 miles away down in Yuma. We couldn't even hear them with just a handheld and a little rubber duck antenna. So build your little tape measure antenna, and you will be on the air with some coax. And sometimes you just have to hold your handheld way up in the air. There's my ICOM, and you can do that. How are you going to talk and listen to it? No problem. Speaker mic, and one of the best speaker mics. Hey, Bob, this is a keeper. The Heil just plugs right into the ICOM if you order the IC version, or it plugs directly into a Kenwood or a Yaesu or a Linko or some of the Chinese handhelds. But check with Bob's team, and he'll get you the right handheld setup with the head mic that will work perfectly on each radio you may have. And, of course, the microwavers will be out there heating things up on 10 gigs. And bicycle mobile. In fact, I think this weekend you should try and do something absolutely bizarre. Bicycle is not too bizarre, but be bizarre so people go, gosh, did you hear Jack? He was like transmitting from a, and make it unique. So bicycle mobile, I like this one. It's outside of Mammoth and Bishop and some of the big mountains up outside of Southern California. And it's a little bit of water at about just under 110 degrees and it comes bubbling right out of the earth. So we bring the comm van to the edge of the water and I jump in with a handheld. This is just south of Bishop on the old 395 highway. And I made some great repeater contacts. But again, you got to be simplex for this weekend's contest. So the key is get some elevation, get up nice and high, and give a quick CQ contest and give your call sign and grid square and wait for folks to come back and fill up that logbook. And again, if you've got a base rig and you're going to operate from the house, that's okay. Scan the band. If you see this on 6 meters below 50.125, those are beacons. If you hear them up on 2-meter band, you get this many beacons. My gosh, that's going to be a grand slam ham opening. No, you don't need a huge tower. Sorry, and that's Don Arnold, W6GPS, straining to lift this. It's aluminum. Aluminum tower is what we have here at the house. It's great. But, you know, I'm not going to operate from the house. I think we're going to go portable somewhere. So with all the stuff going on, wear the mask, socially distance, and we've got earthquakes out here on the West Coast. Dodge those, dodge protests, and stay positive, because with everything going on, we need one great weekend of Hamfest fun. So I'm going to take my ICOM handheld and the dune buggy possibly. We'll leave the big base station 9100 at home until the evening hours, and then watch out. We'll come up on that and look for some real DX on the weak signal portion of the band. So have fun this weekend, and remember simplex, no satellites, unfortunately, and no repeaters. Try and keep it simplex and have fun on the VHF, UHF, ARRL weekend contest. And with our ICOM, let's take a look at ICOM America and see what ICOM has for us next, as they always do.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers in a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo, or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen and live band scope with waterfall. Integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM invites you to enter weekly after each episode of Ham Nation at icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, you can learn how you might win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For June, it's the ICOM IC2730A VHF UHF dual band mobile. VHF UHF, VHF VHF, or UHF UHF simultaneous receive. So it's a dual watch radio. Large high contrast display. Rugged mill standard 810. Optional Bluetooth board. And there's free downloadable programming software available as well. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up and good luck in the contest. And I don't have photographic evidence to support what I'm going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to try to get on through this pretty quick, but I was just making me some notes, and there's a few things to cover here. This is, it's been an interesting few days. You know, we just had that tropical storm come through here, and it wasn't a super strong one. I don't even know, what the maximum wind speeds were in it, and I'm 3 hours from the coast, so I wasn't really expecting any issues here. Well, the issues actually started on Friday night about 6 p.m. before the tropical storm even hit. It was just a pop-up thunderstorm. And for some reason, electrical grid just wasn't ready for it. And it took the power out at two of my transmitter sites in two different directions. And, it was pretty heavy rain as well. So both had generators. The generators fired up, and I said, okay, well, we'll just have to ride it out, and they'll get it restored when they get it restored. Saturday morning, the power came on at one of them, but the main transmitter quit. So I flipped it over and got it on the backup transmitter. Now, the other station still had no utilities, and I had reported it, but no utilities there yet, still operating on generator. Saturday, probably around lunch, the auxiliary transmitter at that site that the main had failed at, it failed. So I had to switch to another backup site I've got that's much lower power, and at least I got something on the air. Not as good a coverage, but something on the air. And Saturday afternoon, I went up to that first site I've been mentioning that had both transmitters out now and started troubleshooting. When I pulled up out front, I noticed a real loud roaring sound, which it was very unusual. I opened the door, and the main transmitter was sitting over there and just humming and a buzzing like nobody's business. and it sounded like it was coming from the PA cavity. Well, there is a big three-phase squirrel cage blower that sits under there, and I knew that the motor had been noisy on it for a while, and so I was pretty sure that's what went bad. So I took the doors off, fired it up again just to be sure, and yeah, that's what it was. The auxiliary transmitter, I don't know. I just reset everything and powered it back up and got it on the air, so no problems with it. But the main, fortunately, I had a backup blower, the whole squirrel cage assembly, sitting right there that someone before me had bought, brand new, never been used, never been installed. And the one that was in there when I took over, you know, it's always been noisy now for, what, 4 years? So I knew the day was going to come, and it finally did. So it takes a little while and wrestling to get all that stuff out, and you're doing it all at ground level, so that's not a lot of fun either. And it's not real lightweight, but I got it out and got the new one installed and got it back on. And the main transmitter seemed to be happy, so I was back on it. I looked inside the squirrel cage blower of the one that was bad because I spun it. And, you know, normally electrical motor, you know, you're going to hear some grinding or it's not going to free spin, but this one did. Although I suspect there was still motor damage in it. But I looked at the squirrel cage blower in there, and one of the blades was missing. And I said, uh-oh. And it wasn't in the transmitter, so it hadn't shot up through the bottom of the tube and destroyed it because the transmitter came on. But apparently that somebody had broken that out years ago and had bought a new blower and just never put it in. I didn't know it. I just thought it was, a noisy motor in there. But no, it was actually the blower assembly too. So anyway, that got me through Saturday. Got back on the air at that site on the main transmitter. Had a working backup again. The other transmitter site where the power fell, you know, it's been 24 hours now. It's still no utilities. I checked with the utility. Well, it's going to be 6 p.m. the following day. Okay, well, we're still on generator. It's got a 1,000-gallon tank on it. And I know it was about 80%, so should be enough fuel to last through that. All right, so we got back from all of that. Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, that main transmitter failed again. I just worked on. So I drove up there. I reset the breaker. There's a breaker on it that it will trip every so often on this particular model of transmitter. And it just wanted my attention, I guess. I reset that and got it back on. Meantime, the other site where the generator power was still on wasn't on generator power anymore. As a matter of fact, it wasn't on any power. The generator failed. So, yeah, that's not fun either. So that one's out now. I can't run anything. That's a 50 kilowatt AM, so, and it's in a swamp. You've heard me talk about swamp before, so couldn't really get out there because now the tropical storm was moving in. So I had that going on. I checked with the utility. Oh, yeah, it's still going to be 6 p.m. this evening. No, it didn't happen. Still wasn't back on. As a matter of fact, they didn't restore the power there until 11 p.m. that night after I'd reported it two more times. And then we got something back on. But so Monday, the storms were still here, and everything else was up and running fine. All the transmitters, main transmitters on. We're not on generator power anymore. Well, storm's here, and now we're starting to get lightning strikes again. I think we had a power failure at studio. All right, it goes out. So this takes out the T1 line that all the stations feed their audio through. Well, that's okay because I've got two internets. I've got a cable and a fiber at the site that these run to. So I'll just switch over and go to that backup, which I would normally do if this happened, and be back on in a couple of minutes. Both of the internet connections had failed, so I couldn't do that. So I rush over there just at the in between bands on the tropical storm moving in. And I go in and I see, you know, there's no connectivity here. So I monkey around with everything till finally I get everything rebooted and get on one of the internet connections. I get one of them going. So, you know, you wouldn't think if you had two from two different vendors, you'd have them both go out at the same time, but I did. And so got that going. Then I noticed, well, the T1 looks like it's back up, but it won't connect. Well, some settings had got scrambled with the time slots in it, so that took a little while. So we had every station off in the market that, you know, for my group. We're off for a little while I solved all that. All right, so that happened Monday, but I got them all back on. Okay. Everything's good. So 6 o'clock Tuesday morning, I know this is getting to be a long story. Yeah, and it's still going on. It's not over yet for me. The 50 kilowatt AM transmitter in the swamp failed. Okay. That's not good. I do have the 1 kilowatt on the air. I could get it on. That's the auxiliary and the nighttime transmitter, because we cut power to 500 watts at night and we go directional. We have to do that to protect other stations across the U.S. So I could get that on. It wasn't much power. As a matter of fact, it was less than 1/50th of what we normally run, going from 50 kilowatts down to 500 watts directional, but something was on the air. So the storm finally ended. I got out to the swamp and managed to get in with the four-wheel drive, although I really tore up the road doing it and slid all over the place. I pull up and, well, I know the generator's not working, and I know the 50-kilowatt transmitter's not working. I go in the transmitter building door, and I smell a burning smell, electrical smell. All right, not sure what's going on here. The low power transmitter is on and seems to be okay. So I tear the 50 kilowatt apart, which takes a little while. Smell all around in it, don't find anything burning. Open up the phaser cabinet, you know, where all these big inductors are and capacitors and all that adjust the phase and the power that go to each of the three towers for the directional. And I don't really smell it in there so much, but it's in the whole building. And so I shut the little transmitter down and I smell around in it. I don't think it's in there. And so I know it's not the fluorescent lights because they weren't on until I got there. That only leaves the big air conditioning unit because it takes a lot of air conditioning with 50-kilowatt transmitter. And I've also got a smaller unit there, sort of a backup. It won't handle the weight of the 50 kW, but certainly handle the weight of the 1 kW. So I shut down the big air and turn on the smaller air and back on the 1 kW transmitter. I can't get the 50 to come on. The 50-kilowatt transmitter it gets warning lights all over it when I try to turn it on. And it makes me think, okay, this is down at the tower that is, you know, about 500 feet out there in the swamp. And it's just been a tropical storm here. And the sawgrass out there, you know, is about shoulder high on me. And I know it's flooded and, you know, between the moccasins and potential alligators and everything else in there, I'm not going out in the swamp to that tower today. We're just going to stay on the lower power. And, you know, I'll come back out here when it's dried up a little bit and bring some reinforcements with me as well, because you know, the way the road is, and nobody could get in there, ambulance or anything, if it got snake bit or injured. So I'll probably go out there in another day or so. Meanwhile, we got something on the air. Well, so I had to check on the generator because it didn't work. Well, I had 55% fuel, so it had used a good bit of fuel, but it wasn't running. I checked the status indicators on it and all. Low oil pressure. Chip pulled out the dipstick. Nothing on the tip of it. Okay, well, that explains that. So I don't have any oil there. Someone had broken into the building that houses the generator a few months back, and apparently they stole my oil, and I didn't notice that until I needed it. So I had to leave, go get some oil from the auto parts store. I got a 2.5-gallon jug and brought it back, and I've really torn up the road now getting in and out of there. So I topped the generator back off, and I've got just the right amount of oil in it now. I got about half a jug left, and I fired it up. It runs okay. So at least I got the generator back. Now, why was it low on oil? Well, boy, this story is getting a lot longer than I anticipated. When you've got a big generator, say a 100-kilowatt generator, and most of the time that it runs is overnight when there's a thunderstorm or something that's moved through and knocked out the electricity, and you're only running a 500-watt transmitter with it, you know, it's sitting there with a lot of power in reserve. It hardly knows that there's any load on it at all, and the rings won't stay seated in there. For some reason, I don't understand it, but the generator mechanic has told me this. They start blowing oil by them, and so the rings don't seat properly, and you're burning oil. You know, it's just going out in the exhaust smoke, and so that's why I had low oil pressure. It needs to have a proper load put on it for an extended period of time, and I'm going to have to get the generator guy to bring his load bank and do that, and that should reseat the rings back in. It won't be using oil again. I've got two generators actually need that done to it. So anyway, that's where I am right now. In the meantime, I take care of another station for a friend of mine on the side. During the storm, a tree fell, hit the power feed going into his building, and yanked the meter off the wall. And so he was dead in the water as well. I'm not an electrician. So I said, you got to have an electrician come out here and take care of this just because of what it is. And so they had to go to the process of getting a permit from the city, getting the utility company to turn the power off so the electrician could work. The next day, he got everything mounted back up and supposedly in good order, got the city to approve it. Got the utility company to turn it on this afternoon. When they did, sparks started flying off the side of the building. So I have to go out there in the morning and deal with that. So anyway, interesting time here. This is just one of the reasons that we get into broadcast engineering in the first place. No, it's not. This is one of the reasons we get out of it for 20 years like I did. But anyway, I'm getting things back. It's never a dull moment here, never a spare one either. Well, with that, I think maybe we ought to change the subject. Don, come bail me out.
All I could think of when you're relating that story is, geez, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? That's a lot of See, that's why I'd rather be on this side of the microphone than the other side of the transmitter. It's a lot less of a problem. That's for sure. Why don't we go ahead and let's bring on Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG, and we have a special guest with Neil as well. We're going to talk about youth on the air. And how you doing, buddy? Look at Neil. Looking nice in your blue shirt. So what are we talking about, Youth on the Air? What's the big news tonight for Youth on the Air?
Well, we've got a series of summer activities that you can do at home. So all still kind of bummed about not having the camp this summer, but we've got a whole bunch of activities that you can do from home. So we've created a series of bonus events that you can do from home since we weren't able to deliver on the camp until next year because of the pandemic. So we had promised that we would do a few things, and so that's what we're going to do here. So the first thing is the virtual Yoda Day. So during one of the days when we were supposed to be having camp, we picked Wednesday, June 24th, from 2 to 8 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have a Zoom meeting with all the campers, and we're going to have different young hams leading forums. So we're going to talk about ways to track down transmitters, but do it from the comfort of your own home without actually getting out and doing fox hunting. We're going to be talking about ballooning and APRS. We're going to be talking about sharpening your contesting skills, but it's all stuff that you can do from home, even if you don't have a radio. So, for our campers that may not have a station at home, they're still going to be able to do some of these things. And then we're going to intersperse, throughout the day, some fun competitions. So we're going to have some skill competitions, and I'm not going to tell exactly what those are because I don't want people preparing for them ahead of time. But we're going to give them a chance to compete a little bit and win some prizes. And so our prizes are donated by Heil Sound, of course, and DX Engineering. So they're going to give us some prizes. And then the grand prize, which we're going to keep a secret, but it's a good one, believe me. The grand prize was donated by R&L Electronics, and we're going to give that away at the end of this. Now, if you're not one of these campers, why are we on here talking about this? Well, we're also going to stream this on YouTube. So the campers will be able to interact, but if you didn't apply for the camp, if you're too young for the camp, if you're too old for the camp, if you're just nosy, you can watch it on YouTube. So Don, even you can watch this on YouTube.
I plan on it. That's going to be a lot of fun. And do we have Chris? We have Chris Bro with us tonight.
Yes.
KDA,
we have Chris Bro with us tonight. And
is that facial hair?
That is facial hair. Aren't you? That is.
Oh my God. How old were you when we first met you at Dayton?
Like 13 or 14.
And you're how old now?
17, almost 18.
Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop.
I knew you would be excited to realize how long we used to call him
Cincinnati Short Rib. Now, I'm not a tall man, but Chris was probably a good foot and a half shorter than me back then. And so, I referred to him as Cincinnati Short Rib. And you've passed me up a long time ago now. Well, what can you add to this whole Yoda extravaganza? Because I know this is, if this was going to be a physical event over there at the Voice of America, that's your backyard, your stomping grounds.
Yes.
Tell me what you're doing with all this now.
So we, one of the VOA club members, K4ZLE Jay, decided that we could use his remote station. So people that don't have, if they don't have a radio at home or they don't have a station, what they can do is on their computer, they can connect to Jay's station and then run Field Day remote. And so basically that's how we're going to do it is you're just going to be on your computer, kind of like how I'm set up right now on my computer. I got my microphone and you would just run contacts remote for Field Day. And that's like if you don't have a setup or, you just normally roam with your club station, which you can't really do this year with the whole coronavirus and everything.
Yeah, that's an issue. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing this virtually, and that you're all going to get together online. That's as good as we can do right now. And we've all learned through this just how much we can do online, right, Neil? I mean, I make radio commercials for a living, and I have learned that I don't have to be at the radio station 64 miles away. Because I have this, and I've got some other equipment here, and I can produce radio commercials here, and I can do it all from home. And a lot of other people are figuring out just exactly what they can do from home. And, ham radio testing can now be done remotely. You're doing this remotely. We're in the age of the Zoom meeting. It's amazing what technology has done for us, and we didn't really know we had this in our back pocket until we absolutely needed it, a lot like when Hurricane Katrina came through 15 years ago, when we all down here on the Gulf Coast learned how to text. So, The technology is just amazing. And it's true. It's absolutely true. My phone didn't ring for 2.5 weeks. The only way I could get calls in and out was texting. And I got to tell you, we were driving home going through Jackson, Mississippi, heading south, and my phone rang and it scared the bejesus out of me. So, But this is just, I'm just so happy that you guys are doing this. So what else can you tell us about what's going on? I wish you could tell us about this grand prize, but I know you're sworn to secrecy and everything.
Yep. Super secret. But yeah, we're going to do the virtual day, so you can get on YouTube and watch it. And the grand prize is going to be given away about 7:45 p.m. that day. So tune in 7:45 p.m. On our YouTube channel on Youth on the Air. You can go to youthontheair.org and find that. And that's on Wednesday, June 24th. And then we have a couple of things going on for Field Day. If we can get back to the slides here, we've got the Field Day remote that Chris was talking about. Youth who were selected to go to the camp, we'll be able to log into that and operate. And we've Chris's dad, KD8VRX, Jocelyn, put together, actually today we were playing around with it, and Chris and I were, the remote, and you can actually remote log and remote control the station. And so you can sign up if you're one of the campers, but again, that's just for the campers, but Chris is going to schedule all of that for us. Now, if you're not involved in that, we also are going to do a Field Day club entry. So if you know about the changes to the rules this year, you can operate from home, you can contact other home stations, but then you can also put in a club name, and they're going to compile those scores for those home stations. So if you're 25 or under, we want you to type in Youth on the Air, and you got to make sure you capitalize it and put spaces in there and everything so they can score that easily. But put in Youth on the Air as your club name if you don't have another club that you're already contributing to. And we're gonna see how the youth can rack up the score on Field Day. So everybody 25 or under, you're invited to put Youth on the Air in there as your club. And then we'll have to back up a couple of slides here. We're gonna do a special event station, W8Y, that whole week that we were supposed to be at camp. So June 21st through 26th. The campers will take turns on the station of their choosing, and they're going to run W8Y as a special event, just like we would have if the camp were happening. But they're going to be at various locations. So Marty NN1C is going to coordinate the schedule for that to make sure that people aren't operating at the same time and everything, and we can get all the logs straightened out. So that special event, W8Y, our campers will be on the air that week, but please take time to work us during that week, June 21st through the 26th, as we celebrate youth and mourn the lack of a camp.
You're doing the next
one last
best thing.
That's go ahead,
for sure. Don. Yeah. Okay. I said you're doing the next best thing, even though you're not being able to have it in person. You're doing it all virtually, and that is going to allow a whole lot more people to participate, even vicariously, like those of us who may be watching on the YouTube. So I think it's a great deal. Go ahead, Neil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's that you always say? Even a trained monkey? Isn't that your phrase? Even a trained monkey can watch it?
So. Yeah, semi-trained monkey. Yeah, that's me.
So there's one other thing. One more. But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Yoda Online started a couple of weeks ago, and we're not doing this. This is Youngsters on the Air, so they're the people over in Europe and IARU Region 1. They're sponsoring this, but they are doing a monthly hour-long youth get-together online, and it's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and I think Instagram Stories. But anyway, each month they pick a topic, and they tell about some things that Yoda is doing, and they have some prizes, and the next one was just announced. It's going to be the day after our virtual Yoda Day, so that's Thursday, June 25th. That's at 1800 Zulu, and you can go to Youngsters on the Air's website. That's ham-yoda.com. And you can get the links there on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So we had some people in that last time I went. I know Sterling went. I think Chris's dad went. We had a few young hams from the U.S. that were there, and they heard about the youth contesting program. And I'm not sure what the topic's going to be this time, but I'm sure they'll have another good topic. So that's Yoda Online. So those are all the things that we're doing virtually.
This is amazing. I'm just, you know, just the whole youth and amateur radio thing is, as you know, was very near and dear to Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, who's, you know, call sign you see over my shoulder here with his old license plate. Tomorrow would be 5 years since we lost Bill, since he passed away. And, of course, he was the man who gave us the Young Ham of the Year Award, which the nominees are in and in the hands of the judging committee. So we await that. Of course, we won't convene at Huntsville this year because, well, there won't be one. But nonetheless, the whole youth in amateur radio thing is just amazing. And it seems like it gets more and more active every year. Just there seem like more young people gravitating to this hobby. And doing amazing things, and I'm just thrilled as I can be to just sit back and watch it. I really am. And Chris, I mean, I've known you for a long time, got to watch you grow up, and your family just so dear to me, and I'm just pleased as I can be that you and your dad walked up to us at Dayton to say hi. And I just have an observation. I don't know if your mom has experienced what my wife did, but one day when Tyler was beginning to get a little bit older, she called the house and he picked up the phone and she didn't recognize his voice. She thought, my God, who's this man in my house? I'm just wondering if your mom has gone through that or if she's told you that.
I have not been told that. She's probably gone through it, but I haven't been told it yet.
I'm sure she has. I'll next time I see her, I'll ask her about that. And of course, Neil, we have something exciting coming up in your life. You're getting married. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. We don't have that long.
The
date's been changed. The venue's been changed.
Yeah.
Venue got changed today.
Oh, my God.
We don't have time for that.
Okay. Well, Neil has a lovely fiance named Julie, and she is adorable. We all of us who know Julie absolutely adore her. However, I don't believe that Julie has a call sign. Does she or does she not? Let us confirm this right
not.
Now. Okay.
She
well, I want
not.
To be the tip of the spear. I want to be the tip of the spear for the peer pressure. We'll call it the peer pressure spear. I'm the tip. I'm the arrowhead. I'm the point. As you can, you know, the point at the tip of the spear. And now we're getting into a whole pointy head thing. So we want to try to get Julie licensed one of these days. But congratulations to you. And you're just the best. Julie's amazing. And you make the coolest couple. A couple of what? We have
and
no
she's
idea.
Letting
but you
me
do
put
make
up
a lovely
a tower.
Couple. Is she really?
Oh, she's letting me put up a tower. So
there you go.
There we go.
Put up a tower. That's right. You're probably going to have to string a clothesline off one leg of it, but that's all right. That's okay. It's any port in a storm
probably
never
some,
works.
Probably some Christmas lights.
Yeah, of course. Well, like, you know, Amanda has Jeff put the whole star thing up there in Colorado on there. So yeah. I think it's a team effort. But nonetheless, listen, the whole the Youth on the Air thing is amazing. Neil, thank you for everything that you're doing with this. Chris, you're just the coolest and proud to call you my friend. So let's wrap this up. Anything else? Let's give us the websites
Chris
again.
Chris is working at an airport now.
Oh, boy. Yes. I got a job.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you parking airplanes? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Slinging bikes?
So I got to be 18 to park and fuel. So that's in a couple months. But for now, I'm just working the front desk and making sure people pay, all that fun stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. That's a neat
Thank
gig.
Thank you.
That's a neat gig. If there was an airport close enough to me that would pay enough money, I would love to be doing that. Absolutely love to be doing that. Well, anyway, so tell us the websites again and how everybody can participate.
Youthontheair.org. And we have social media as well, but there on youthontheair.org, you'll find links to all of this and all that information you need. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff.
Cool. Scroll back to the top of that page because there we see a younger Chris Bro right there.
They're younger Chris.
Go back to that picture. Go. No, it just went by. The rotator went by. There he is. Look at Chris. How old are you in that picture?
There with Patrick.
Oh, I was 16, like early 16, late 15, somewhere in there. I forget when that was, but
all right,
somewhere in there.
Very cool. You're amazing. You're the best. And so proud of you. And this whole Youth on the Air thing is just amazing. And I hope that you have just some amazing participation from that. So, Neil, Chris, thank you guys so much for being on Ham Nation tonight. We really, really appreciate it. And go youth. Go kids. And having Marty in there is that can't be a bad thing as well. So very good. Let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. And we'll hear from Dr. T in the Solar Update. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2,223, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. The Ham Radio social calendar took another COVID-19-related hit with the cancellation of yet another major U.S. HamFest. Newsline anchor Stephen Kinford at N8WB has details.
The Huntsville HamFest, originally scheduled for August 22nd and 23rd in Alabama, has been canceled, with organizers citing concerns over large public gatherings during the COVID-19 pandemic. Chairman Mark Brown, N4BCD, issued a statement on Thursday, June 4th, saying, quote, "With deep sadness, the board has voted to cancel Huntsville HamFest 2020. We make this decision for the safety of our visitors, vendors, and volunteers. We will be back and hope to see you back at the world's friendliest HamFest on August 21st and 22nd, 2020, end quote. Details about refunds are posted on the HamFest Facebook page.
Now on to Florida's Kennedy Space Center as U.S. astronauts lifted off for the first time from the launch pad there in nearly a decade. And one of them is a ham.
A new chapter in history turned for the world on Saturday, May 30th, when two NASA astronauts returned to space from American soil. For the ham radio community, it was a particular point of pride that one of the astronauts was Bob Behnken, KE5GGX, who joined fellow crew member Doug Hurley in the launch towards low Earth orbit in what was the first commercially built and operated spacecraft. The Dragon Crew capsule, produced by Elon Musk's SpaceX company, is designed to deliver people instead of just cargo to the International Space Station. The two astronauts are now part of the Expedition 63 crew aboard the ISS, which has as its commander another ham radio operator, NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy, KF5KDR. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Meanwhile, there's been another race into space, and this one involves students with some balloons outfitted with transmitters.
Students in the Space Station Explorer program of ARIS launched mid-altitude ham radio balloons on Monday morning, June 1st, simultaneously. This is a cross-continent race, west to east, involving students of two California educators, Ted Tagami, KK6-UUQ, and Joanne Michaelis, KM6-BWB. A third balloon was launched by Liam Kennedy, KN6-EQU, of the ISS Above program. A fourth balloon was launched from Pasco, Washington, by the River's Edge High School and Yakima Valley Technical Skills Center. The winning balloon will be the one to cross into the Eastern time zone first. In the meantime, the students and anyone else can track the balloon's altitude, temperature, and, of course, location via automatic packet reporting system, which is being fed to the APRS.fi website. You can join them in tracking the balloons by following the call signs KK6UUQ-8, KM6BWB-9, KN6EQU-2, and K7HAK-11 on the map. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Stephen Kenford, N8WB, Andy Morrison, K9AWM, Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
A new cycle sunspot continues to boost the solar flux, and a solar storm launched on the sun's far side nearly eclipsed Parker Solar Probe. Those stories and more in the news this week. This space weather forecast is sponsored in part by Millersville University. Come get certified in broadcast space weather. Visit millersville.edu/swen. Space weather this week is definitely still keeping our attention. As we take a look at our Earth-facing sun, you can see the two bright regions there. The one in the northern hemisphere, this is old region 2764. This is the region that fired off the first two M-class flares of the new solar cycle. And even though it's come Earthside, it has diminished somewhat. It's no longer classified as a sunspot, but it is still boosting the solar flux a bit. The bigger story, of course, is region 2765. Now, this region was also firing solar flares and solar storms on the sun's far side, but as it's rotated into Earth view, it has also quieted down. We see a few fizzles and farts from it, a few B-class flares and some false starts of some solar storms, but nothing that has actually launched and has been Earth-directed. Meanwhile, we continue to watch it as it evolves. And even from the ground, it's a spectacular sight. Take a look at the imagery from Stacy Fox, one of our field reporters. Look at the ground imagery. It's unbelievably beautiful. And as we take a look at it from space, you can see that this sunspot, even though it is evolving quite rapidly, it's not diminishing all that much. So this one might actually survive a backside passage and make it back around to the front side of Earth. We might see it in another month. Who knows? It'd be the first time we'd see that from a new cycle sunspot. Meanwhile, the rest of the disk is pretty bland. We've had a few pockets of fast solar wind, but nothing sustained. Luckily, though, the solar flux is going to stay in the low 70s easily over the next few days. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you can continue to enjoy some decent radio propagation. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we really aren't expecting much. We've got a couple sporadic pockets of fast solar wind, and that's pretty much the way it's going to be throughout this week. So at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 20% chance of a minor storm, and that should pretty much continue all the way throughout the week. At mid-latitudes, the story isn't much different. We're expecting unsettled conditions with about 10% chance of active conditions, which will kind of wane a little bit. So aurora photographers, there really isn't much for you to do this week. You probably have to sit things out until about midweek next week, when we probably will get another chance for a bit more stormy conditions. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we do have two bright regions on the Earth-facing disk right now. One of them is region 2765. It is a sunspot, and it looks like it will continue to be so as it continues rotating off of the sun's west limb. So we will easily have solar flux that will stay at least in the low 70s or right at 70 for the next week, which is good news for amateur radio operators and emergency responders. It looks like the propagation, the radio propagation on Earth's day side will stay in the marginal range. The nice news, though, is for you GPS users, your GPS reception should be fine because we don't have any risk for radio blackouts. This region is not an M-flare player, and it won't be. We really don't see it developing into one at this time. So your GPS reception on Earth's day side should also continue to be very, very good. And these conditions will continue. It looks like into next week we could drop potentially back into the high 60s for solar flux. Not quite sure about that, because we don't have any bright regions on the far side of the sun that we're seeing right now. So next week may be a little bit dull. Meanwhile, because we are just beginning to pick up activity, we still have a higher cosmic ray impingement in our atmosphere than we normally would have. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high altitudes and high latitudes, you are in the moderate range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers, so please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week continues to give us a bit of eye candy. As we look at the sun, we see region 2765, which is continuing to be a decent-sized sunspot, and it is evolving, but it's staying pretty strong. Now, granted, it isn't shooting off any solar storms or solar flares, but it is managing to boost that solar flux and keep it in the low 70s, and it should do that easily over the next week before things begin to tank. So you emergency responders and radio amateurs expect to enjoy some decent radio propagation over the next week before we might drop down into the poor range. Now, you aurora photographers, well, things aren't looking all that great for you. We've got some sporadic pockets of fast solar wind, but nothing really substantial. So you may have to sit this week out and wait until next week when we get some slightly larger coronal holes rotating into the Earth's strike zone, which give us a bigger chance for aurora. Now, the good news comes to you GPS users. With really no real solar storms in sight and the big active regions on the Earth-facing disk not giving us any big flares, it looks like GPS reception all over the globe should be top-notch. I'm Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Always a great follow on Twitter, and check her out online as well. There's her website, spaceweatherwoman.com, and the Twitter feed is at Tamitha Scove. She's on there all the time. I seriously don't think the woman sleeps. And she took time out from her busy schedule last week to be with us live for the YL Takeover. It was great. Amanda, you and the rest of the YLs just did an amazing job last week. So the guys, we're a little bit worried. We really are.
I think you guys should be. No, honestly, that all lined up. So I'll say the last YL show, I kind of lined up most of the guests, and Valerie did a fabulous job of coming in and doing questions and stuff. This time, Valerie really lined up all of the guests, and we had a fantastic time with all of them. It was really fun, and thank you, Dr. T, for being there with us as well. And everyone loves to ask questions at the end. Go ahead.
I got a quick story for you here, real quick. You remember last week, when Tamitha talked about the hams showing up at her house and how she, you know, she's got these new Elmers now. Well, her Elmer Mike, she texted me earlier. She said, I may get on the radio here locally at 7 p.m. my time. I'll be on the Papa repeater system and they'll have a new ham net tonight. Crazy, huh? So she may be making her first contact right now. Because 7 o'clock, you know, 9 o'clock here is 7 o'clock there. So she may be on the repeater in Southern California right now. Told her to set up a camera and record it, and we'll show it next week if she does that. So fingers crossed for Dr. T getting on the radio tonight. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. I know the getting on the Papa system is really nice, and I think all of us can if we aren't in the middle of a show. So it would be fun to join him sometime just to say hello. And make a quick QSO with Dr. T there. So hopefully everyone's nice and friendly and helpful for her. Well, all right. I've got some good questions this evening. Thank you, Dawn, so much. Bob, I'm going to go to you first. This first question is from Brett. And this is all about mixers. He's looking for a good mixer. He says, I'm looking for a good USB mixer for ham radio, Zoom, and podcasting. I'm torn between the Allen and Heath ZE10FX, which has 96 kilohertz, 24-bit USB output, and the all-digital Zoom Live Track L12 mixer with built-in multi-track recorder. You got any thoughts on either one of them? Or is there something better he should be looking at?
All of us, all of the hosts just about are using Alesis Multimix 8, and it works great. So Allen and Heath is a great company, and it's probably good. So just have to weigh out what you want to pay for it and so on. But they're all going to be about the same when it comes to performance. And it'd be up to you as to what you want to do with it, how many channels or whatever. But the Alesis works great, and I've got three of them here that I do different things with. So that's what I'm using here and what all the hosts are. Alesis Multimix 8 USB. It's terrific. Not very much money.
Pretty much. I'll tell you what I'm – this is the Behringer, which is – it's a very inexpensive mixer. This also, for the bang for the buck, is really, really nice. This is the Xenix 802. This is not the USB model. This is the one that got hit by lightning. In fact, there's a burn mark on one of these screws up here on the top. This is the one that is dead and got hit by lightning, but they have a USB model of this as well. And they have a 502, which just has less inputs. But Behringer, bang for the buck, this is well under $100. And so bang for the bucks, check these things out. The one that I'm using, that I'm going through right now, is this exact same model, but it is USB. And so there you go.
All right. And I just looked at mine. We had to replace our Alesis, unfortunately, a few months ago. And the only thing we could get really quickly was a Behringer. So it's a USB one, the 1222, and it's a little bit pricier than we wanted to spend on it, honestly. But it was our only choice to get here before Ham Nation, so that's what we chose. way overkill. So if anyone ever needs to borrow it for something that's actually pretty productive, you just let me know. One other question for you, Bob. Simon ZL2FAE wants to know how you're doing on your beams. You got anything up yet?
No, not yet. We're working. I have a plan, and we're going to get that up. It just takes time, but I finally have 75 meters up and working, and 40 meters up and working. But basically, that's all I use anyway. When I was at Pleasant Hope, I very seldom got on all the upper freaks. But yeah, we're getting there. Just takes time.
All right. So Bob's already on AM. You got that going for you.
Every morning.
38.
Yeah.
I can't wait to listen to those girls in on the East Coast. I know I'm not going to hear them very well, but I can't wait to join in on their next AM net. And
there it is. Look. Right over there, all the way over there. Those little boxes are the ICO and the VFO and the Mosley receiver. And down in the bottom is a pair of 3500s for my antenna tuner. I always say that if you have an antenna tuner that has anything less than 2 3500s, you need to reassess.
Okay, so my next question is kind of to all of you. Who else besides Gordo and I are participating in the VHF contest this weekend? Do you guys play? No?
I might. I only have FM. I may try it just for the heck of it.
And I may try it if I can find time. We're shooting an amateur logic Friday night. And that's going to take Friday night and a good bit of Saturday to edit it. But I have interest in doing it. So if I can find time this weekend and none of my transmitters or generators act up, I'm going to try to get on for a little while.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I don't have any antennas yet, but it's okay.
Oh, but everybody Bob's saying is just throw out a wire and see what you can make contact with. No, we just put up a 6-meter loop, and I say we very liberally because it was actually Jeff. I just suggested it. So he had to climb up the tower, and we ran some hard line, and that was fun. So we're looking forward to it just to see what we can hear. Unfortunately, we're like in the worst place for conditions ever. You guys down there in the Gulf, you're going to have some good luck. If 6 actually opens, you're going to make some great contacts to New England and such. So listen and see what you hear.
I'll give you a little insight. About 2 weeks ago, I made up, I had some speaker wire, and I made up a 20-meter dipole, put it out in the back here. Oh, I'm lucky if it's up 15 to 20 feet. This is a 20-meter loop. I just wanted to listen, and one day I'm goofing around, and I noticed on 6 meters, the old, as I call it, the fish finder was going on. What is going on? 6 meters is open. I got on and worked several guys up in New York with a 20-meter antenna, no antenna tuner. And so when I say just put it up and try it, that's what I mean. But all these guys got to get out their slide rule and calculate and get their tuner. Nonsense. Put it up. If somebody's there, call them, and you would be surprised. I was surprised. And I've been using that antenna every day. You want to do this at 1 o'clock Central on 157.5 and on 17 meters. And it's really incredible what you can do with a piece of wire, not even tuned to where you're going. So I know you guys will be flaming me and all that. Do what you want, but I can send you recordings if you don't believe me. Just put it up and have fun. That's what this hobby's all about. But I'll get serious when I get them all up on the roof. You know how that goes. But just thought I'd give that to you. Yeah.
We went camping the other weekend, and we put up a G5 RV, and I made a few contacts on 17. And I think I have 5 in my whole logbook. So pretty proud of all of those 5, and they were hard earned, but it was fun. It really was, just to hear somebody somewhere else. And as they call it, the gentleman's band, it truly is. Everyone is so friendly, and they'll relay to you. If you heard a station and they can hear you both, they're going to talk to you both and let you make that happen. So a lot of fun. Now, last question. Go ahead, Bob.
Before I leave, I got to leave you with this. In 1976, I wrote this book. It is now expanded to the Blue Book, a lot more of it. However, I had a chapter in it that was referred to by none other than Gordon a while ago. It gives you all of the insight of how to be a lid if you wanted to be one. I didn't put it in the Blue Book, but I probably should have after listening around on the bands in the last few years. So if you ever find this laying around somewhere, get it. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Especially if you want to know how to be a lid. If you don't know how, that'll tell you. So there you go. Good to see everybody. I got to get out of here. Thanks very much. I'm glad that all of you are doing well, and really, really enjoyed all the ladies last week. That was an incredible broadcast. And we're going to be doing it again. So, hey, what can I tell you? So have fun.
The more ladies we invite, the more we find. I'm hearing some great stories from women all over the world right now that had said, I just found this YL show. Thank you so much. And they thought it was a continuous YL show. So they were a little bit disappointed to find out we're not on every week. But it was really a blast. And we're finding so many new leads to have on the show. You're all going to be amazed. Thanks, yeah. Bob, for being here tonight.
Yay. Okay. I appreciate it, and good to hear everybody's opinions of what's going on. And I'm sorry I don't get to watch the chat room. I get to read it when you send it to me, but too much going on with all the switching and stuff. So talk to you all later. Have fun. Be safe.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I have one. George, this one's for you. Jeff just took on this amazing project, and I think he's smoking that Colorado homegrown stuff, but I have to show you this. Look at this board. This is an RTCM board, and Jeff is about to solder and put together this whole thing. What do you think?
And that is surface mount, isn't it?
Yeah. Is he not a psycho?
You know, I don't know how many surface mounts he's done, but he's in for a good experience. You both are.
Oh, no.
He's not psycho yet. He will be when he's done.
He might be a psycho when he's done. He's looking over here to this side. And we have 3 of them to actually build. So he's going to try the 1 first and see how it goes. Hopefully we have you on speed dial, George, so we can call for some serious help. One other thing, George, and this is in all seriousness. Dear me, are you paid hourly or salary when you have to go do that stuff all weekend long?
I am salaried. And as a matter of fact, I'm on reduced salary right now. We got a 10% cut. Certain people in the company because of COVID, but others got furloughed. This week, it would have been okay to have been furloughed, I think. But it works out because I don't put in 40 hours every week. You know, if I don't have anything going on, I'll kind of coast along because something like this will come along and make up for it.
Yeah. There you go. It works. And Jeff is also, he works at a steel mill and he gets furloughed 1 week a month. So also we've basically lost 25%, unfortunately. Hopefully things turn around in this day and age. All right. One more. I'm sorry, you guys. I know I'm extending this just a little bit. I didn't hear this asked to Neil, and I didn't hear Neil talk about it, Don, and maybe you heard it and I was just in transition, but does Yoda get to be hosted here again next year?
I think it's too early to tell. Let's get through this year first and then start planning that. So this has just been the craziest year. It's like the lost year. So let's survive 2020 first and then see if we can pull our head out of the sand and see what 2021 is going to look like.
All right. That sounds good. Okay. Let's go over some nets tonight. Let's see. We have 20 meters on 14,268. I didn't see if Kevin was on. You guys look around 7,192. I apologize. I did not see it on the chat. And also we have our D-Star Net on 14 Charlie and DMR on 31012. So thanks, everyone. Get in on those nets. Tell the net controls how awesome they are. And we appreciate them doing this week in and week out, even when most of your hosts typically can't join. We'll see what we can join up on tonight. Maybe D-Star and some DMR for us here. All right. Who's wrapping it up? George? Don?
I think he's trying to point to me. So, all right, we'll do that.
He's trying to do this.
Which way did he go? Which way did he go? All right, y'all. Thanks for being here. And thanks to Neil and Chris for being here. And by the way, the question that I asked Chris about, has his mother ever called the house? And Chris picked up the phone and she wondered, who's this strange man in my house? Jocelyn, Chris's dad, confirmed that, yes, it's happened. He confirmed that in the chat room. So, way to go. That's what happens when
you kids
grow up.
He is such a young man. I cannot believe. I didn't even recognize him. I was like, that can't be Chris. That can't be Hambone. That's not possible. Or short rib. Did you call him Hambone or short rib? I can't remember.
I'm blind Mississippi Hambone. He's Cincinnati short rib in our blues band. Yeah. So but he's the greatest. So anyway, thanks to those two for being here. And, man, way to go on the Youth on the Air thing. And, of course, one more time, we're remembering fondly Newsline's founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, whose license plate you see behind me. He passed away 5 years ago tomorrow on the 11th. So say a little prayer tonight before you go to bed for Bill's family. His daughter, Kelly, just the sweetest, and was an amazing help in us getting Bill's call sign because it was not – had not been canceled. It was still an active call sign. And the Newsline Ham Radio Club, the Amateur Radio Newsline Amateur Radio Club, now has WA6ITF, and she was instrumental in helping us get that. So thank you, Kelly. And there he is. God, I miss that man. Not a day goes by that there's not something that I need to ask him, literally. Not a day goes by. So we love you, Bill. We're remembering you. And we're doing our best to carry on. So with that, we'll carry on out of here, and we'll thank you for giving us a reason to be here on a Wednesday night. Thanks for inviting us into your homes or mobile devices or computers or tablets or wherever you happen to be, whatever day of the week it is that you're watching. We appreciate you. And thanks for letting us do this. We love it. We love you guys, too. So for everybody here that works on Amateur Radio Newsline and Ham Nation, we'll say 7-3 and we'll see you all next Wednesday night. So good night, everybody. Be safe.
Love you, Bill, and we miss you dearly.
Hey, folks, I'm Micah Sargent, host of Hands on iOS right here on the TWiT Network. If you've got iOS devices or watchOS devices or tvOS device, any kind of Apple mobile device, you are going to want to check out Hands on iOS. It is the best way to make the most of those devices. I walk through tips, tricks, and everything in between, plus answer your questions. So be sure to check it out. It's twit.tv/HOI.